Would you turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians this morning? 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And we will be reading from verse 11 to 21. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I read, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of God controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regard Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be seen who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Let us pray. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Lord, you are God, and there is none like you. Ancient of days, the self-existing one, the one who was and is to come, there's none like you. Yet in your greatness, in your power, in your glory, you condescended, took on flesh, something that our mind till day cannot comprehend. And our glorious and wonderful God, our holy, thrice holy God, will condescend to save wicked, wretched men like us. Who are we that you are mindful of? Who are we that you have set so much, such a great love on us? Lord, we thank you. We give you praise, Lord, this morning. Lord, I thank you for heritage. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for the young and the old. I thank you for your grace. And I ask that your grace may be multiplied to them always, from the least to the greatest. I pray that you strengthen the elders, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that the burden of ministry will not be lost, but they will continue to march on, leading your people to you always. That they will not point your people to themselves, but to you always, Lord. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word now, may your name be praised, Lord. May your word be blessed in our hearing, in our heart this day. May it be all about you, Lord, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we started the missions conference yesterday, and I know sometimes when you go to missions conference, and some of us will leave with a guilty heart. We are guilty of a lot of things. We think about the things being said, and we wonder, what have I been doing in the last years and decades I've been a Christian? But that's not what I said to do this morning. I'm not going to set you on a path where you go home and begin to have this conversation with your family and wonder if you're on the right path. No, that's not what today is going to be about. Today is going to be a day of, I will borrow the word from the Psalm, Selah. I want us to just stop and ponder. I want us to just stop and reflect and look at what we have before us and what the Lord has committed to our hands. So the title of today's sermon is Missions, a Burden Entrusted. Missions, a Burden Entrusted. The word that begins our text this morning is the word therefore. It is said in English language word study that therefore can be used to link two sentences or ideas together. You can use therefore to improve a sentence flow or avoid run-ons a lot. By the way, you might like to be hearing a lot of run-ons from me because of my background. And therefore is used to show a causation or a clarification. It is suggested that therefore it should be used sparingly, not especially when you are writing a formal writing. Don't use it a lot. However, we saw here that Paul is not an Englishman because he used therefore not sparingly but bountifully. So what does Paul's bountiful use of the therefore here and suggest to us about this passage? It suggests two things to us, that Paul is making a conclusion from a discussion he was having. It was an initial discussion. And also he suggests to us that Paul is saying that what I'm about to say is very important and I want you to pay attention to it. So what was the initial conclusion, discussion that Paul was having? If we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, we begin from chapter 1 to 7, Paul was making a defense for his ministry as an apostle. Paul was making a defense for the ministry of the new covenant. He said in 2 Corinthians 3, he said, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. But he said that who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. Paul went on to talk about the state of this ministry. That therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not lose heart. Paul made known to his readers that as glorious as this ministry is, God chose weak things. God chose unusual things. God chose the foolish things to display the glory of this ministry. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power, to show that this surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul continued by talking about the afflictions and troubles that these jars of clay go through. How that they, but they are light momentary afflictions. He said they are light. He said, but there is an affliction there. He said that the outer self is wasting away, but our inner self is renewed day by day. But more importantly, there's something far greater, far glorious
then all of these things, Paul called it an eternal weight of glory. Paul said to his readers to be encouraged. Yes, you are afflicted, but be encouraged. Your affliction is not a death sentence. Paul is saying that your affliction is laying a foundation, not a destruction. It is making us ready for the unseen. Then in chapter 5, our text today, Paul began to write boldly about the redemption of our bodies. He just talked about the affliction they are going through, and Paul said, there is the redemption of our bodies. It is coming. He went on to say that this is not a speculation or a myth or a dream. This is certain. This is sure. Why? Because God Himself guaranteed this redemption with His Spirit. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul is saying we are not living our lives like a flag on the pole, blown by the wind in different directions. We're not defined by the weakness of our bodies. Rather, we are spiritually minded, and our bodies are longing and groaning for our heavenly dwelling, to be clothed by it. Hence, because of this, we live by faith in the one who predestined, called, justified, and glorified us, and He will glorify us at the end. So you ask, hey brother, what has all of this got to do with missions? Paul says, therefore, considering this truth of the new covenant, this truth of the redemption of our bodies that is coming. Now, not only that we are redeemed in our soul, but there is a redemption of our body coming. Concerning this truth, Paul said, this is what should motivate us. What are those things? Our new identity in Christ should be a motivation for us. Paul is saying that the burden that we are given as a result of this identity that we have in Christ should be something that motivates us and persuades us to persuade others. So this morning, we're going to consider just 2 points. I'm going to summarize this text in just 2 points. The first motivation is that our union in Christ, our union with Christ, should motivate us for missions. Our union in Christ should motivate us for missions. Secondly, the burden we are entrusted with because of that union should motivate us for missions. Our union in Christ with Christ should motivate us for missions. Secondly, the burden that we are entrusted with because of that union should be a motivation factor, a motivating factor for us. So let's look at our first point. Our union with Christ. Our first motivation for mission is our new identity, which is our union in Christ. But that union begins first with knowledge. Verse 11, Paul said, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. Paul is saying, we now have a knowledge of the fear of the Lord. Now we are persuaded by that. Notice that Paul did not say, therefore, having the fear of the Lord. That's not what Paul said. He said, knowing the fear of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are no longer in the dark. Our darkened hearts have been made alive by the Holy Spirit. So we are no longer ignorant of the fear of the Lord, but now conscious of the terror of God. This terror of God draws believers closer to Himself. But before now, that terror of God terrifies us. But rather, right now, as believers, that terror, having that knowledge, He draws us to God. But that same terror terrifies the wicked. So knowing this, Paul says we can not but just keep quiet, but preach the gospel. The knowledge of the fear of God should make us to
proclaim the gospel. The knowledge of the fear of God is what makes us to persuade others. This knowledge is too wonderful. Its height is so great, the depth we cannot fathom. The breadth is beyond comprehension, yet we cannot hide from it. It is the knowledge of the fear of the Lord. What does that knowledge do to us? That knowledge opens us, opens our eyes to see how that the Holy God, despite the fact that we deserve all of God's wrath and anger, yet that Holy God saved us. And having this knowledge, our desire should reach out to people around us, whether local missions or foreign missions. The same knowledge should help us to look at and say, no, brother, no, sister. The fear of the Lord terrifies. But that same fear of the Lord draws his own closer to himself. After having this knowledge, Paul says that our lives are now transformed. We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who has saved us. Now, how can we live for the one who has saved us and yet not talk about him? How can we live for the one who has saved us and yet not speak and proclaim the gospel of Christ? Brothers, missions is not about just setting out and looking for a place to go to outside of the United States. Missions start from the home. Living before our family. Living before our children. Living before our neighbors. The glorious, wonderful gospel of God. Living a life that is in union with Christ. But Paul says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 5 that this life that we live, it's not one that we boast about our outward appearance. Because this transformation is not a change from white to black or black to white. This transformation, it's not a gender transformation. This transformation is a transformation of the heart. You cannot change that gender. You cannot change that physical look. It is only a transformation of the heart. The gospel did not change you from being an American to an African. The gospel did not change you from being an African to an American. The gospel transformed a sinner, a wicked person, to become a righteous person. And Paul said this is a transformation of the heart. And if our heart is transformed, that heart transformation should compel us to look at sinners and look at them with so much love and say, this is the gospel of Christ, that Christ came to save the wicked. And Paul reminds us again of our unity in Christ. He began to talk about how that one died for all. Paul said, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. For we are in our, if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. That is a strong statement. And I want us to pause and look at that. Paul talked about how the fact that first we are crucified with Christ. And not only that, we are baptized into Christ. We have been set free from sin and death. We are alive in Christ. At the same time, we are hidden in Christ. All these things are true at the same time. Now, Paul said, some people will think that we are beside ourselves. What does this remind us of? It reminds us of Paul before Agrippa. And Paul began to present the gospel before Agrippa, King Agrippa, and went on and on and on about the gospel. And what did Festus say in Acts 26? As Paul was making a defense for the gospel, Festus said, "No, we just." He didn't whisper. Verse 24 said, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind." Now, Paul said he's not out of his mind, but I think Paul is out of his mind. And why do I say that? Because the gospel is foolishness to the sinful man. Because the gospel is foolishness to the natural mind. He could not comprehend it. Festus could not comprehend how that a great and wonderful God that Paul has described would condescend and save a wicked man. And he said, "Definitely you must be out of your mind." But Paul said, "I am speaking the truth." Brothers and sisters, we are out of our mind. And that's how the world sees us. And why? Because of our union with Christ, the world cannot comprehend that life. But we have a duty. Because of our union with Christ, this should motivate us to go spread that gospel. And let the world know that yes, you think we are out of our mind, but this is the truth. Just as Paul said, "I'm not out of my mind, but this is the truth." And what is that truth? That therefore one trespass led to condemnation for all men. So one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. What is the truth? That for us by one man's disobedience, that many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, not some, but many, were made righteous. So brothers, we are dead in Christ. Let's proclaim that death at home, in our workplace. I know these days it's difficult to speak of the gospel in the workplace. I work in a place as well that is difficult. I have people working with a colleague of mine and another colleague who are both men and they are married. And it's difficult to talk about that because the next thing is they're going to reach out to the human resources department. And by the wisdom of God, the Lord has helped me. And when I started a conversation with them, and I start my conversation by saying, "I have a biblical worldview. So whatever you're going to hear from my mouth is going to be based on the scripture. If you're not going to be comfortable with it, let's not start that conversation." I know it's tough. But we need to speak that gospel. We need to proclaim that truth. We need to let people know that this is the joy that is in our heart. Yes, you think we are besides ourselves. Or some think we are in our right mind. But whatever you think, this is the truth. And Paul says, this truth, this union with Christ, it's all about the love of God. The love of God is what controls us. Brothers and sisters, you and I are not under a spell. We're not under a mystical control at all. It is the love of Christ that is controlling us and giving us a purpose. I want us to reflect on this. Yesterday we heard from Bob and Kathy Self about the inner city missions they are doing. Look at the wonderful thing they're doing by pouring out their love on these people. And as these people have been loved, they come back and ask, "What is this joy about?" Then we open the scripture and show, "This is the joy." That's what mission is about. Missions is not about us. It's not about your eloquence, how eloquent you are. Missions, it's about Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about the God who loved us, saved us, and will save us. This brings me to our second motivation, brothers, this morning and sisters. With this union comes a burden. With this union in Christ, we have been entrusted with a load. We have been entrusted with a weight. But I assure you, brothers and sisters, that weight is not just any other weight. It's a weight that, Lord, that we are not just the only one carrying it. Paul says in verse 16 to 21, from now on, therefore. Therefore again. He's saying, listen to me. Because of that union with Christ, because of that we are crucified and dead with Christ, and we're united with Christ, brothers, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Therefore, brothers, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. So Paul is saying, listen, brothers, it is not something that we need to learn. Missions is not something that we need to go to school for, which is good. Mission is not something that we need to take a course on, a classes on, which is good. But Paul is saying missions is a burden of love that has been entrusted to us by the virtue of our union with Christ. Because the Father loved us and has put in us His Spirit, and we also have that love of the Father in us. Just as there is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope and one Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, we have been entrusted with just one body. And that's the ministry of reconciliation. We are a new creation in Christ. What does that mean to be a new creation in Christ? Let's take a trip back to the Garden of Eden. Adam in the garden, what was the responsibility that God gave him? To keep and guard the garden. And Paul is saying here that therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. And so what Paul is saying there now, here, is that, yes, just as Adam, we are new creation. Just as Adam in the beginning, we are new creation now. We have been born again. But we're not born again to sit down, fold our hands, and wait for Christ to come, and we just, hello. I once had a friend who, when he was saved, he was prayed, oh, Christ, come tomorrow. And he just wanted to go. Now, we have been born again to keep the faith. We have been born again to guard the walk. We have been born again. We are new creation. And by this new creation, we have been called to proclaim the truth of the gospel. So brothers, we are new creation to be missionaries all across everywhere be. And I like to correct a notion, and I say this everywhere, and I stand to be corrected. Every believer is a missionary. Every Christian is a missionary. The day that the love of God took you and broke everything down and took you out of darkness and brought you into light, that day you have been commissioned to be a missionary. You have been commissioned to go forth and persuade others to. Not only are we new creation in Christ, we are also ambassadors for Christ. Some decades ago, I was in a car in Nigeria, and right before me was a car that has diplomatic community there. It has diplomatic there. So in Nigeria, the license tag, if you see a diplomatic or diplomat there, it means that that vehicle, whoever is in there, is representing a nation. Now I was told that as that person is driving, whoever is in that car, the country he's representing is in that car. That if he goes, if I go into the embassy of the United States in Nigeria, I'm actually in the U.S. That's what it means. That's why if anything goes on, I go on a mission trip in Nigeria, anything goes wrong, if all I just need to do is to get myself into the embassy of the United States in Nigeria, and no one can touch me. Even the U.S. Nigerian government cannot touch me. Also, that everyone in that embassy, they have no agenda of their own. They have no commission of their own, only the commission that the U.S. government, the government of the United States here in Washington, has given to them. They have nothing of their own except what they have been told to do. What does it mean that we are ambassadors for Christ? It means that we have no commission of our own, but the one that the Father has committed to our hands. It means that we have no agenda of our own, but what the Father has entrusted to us. It means that we are a representative of our Father and God to proclaim the love that took us, the same love that saved us, to proclaim that same love. It means that we are marching forth, raising the banner, not of the United States of America. We are raising the flag, not of Heritage or Redeemer Baptist Church. We are raising the flag, not of Nigeria or any country. We are raising the flag of our Father, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, raise that flag in your home. Raise that flag on your dining table. Raise that flag in your workplace unashamed. Raise that flag on the streets. Raise that flag in your neighborhood and proclaim the love of Jesus Christ. Because missions is not until you fly out of this nation. Missions is the start at the very day that you will convert and change. And so raise that flag. Proclaim it unashamed. And finally, brothers and sisters, this is the hope that we have. And what is that hope? Paul says, all this is from God. What a great comfort. All of this is from God. And so, brothers and sisters, let's rejoice in this hope that all of this thing is from God, not from you and I, but from God. When I was in the year 1999, when I got saved, I didn't know how to preach the gospel. So I went to the pastor there, and I told him, I've read the scripture, because as a Muslim then, you're made to read the whole Quran. So don't be surprised if you give a Muslim a Bible, and he can come back to you the next day or 2 days after and say, I finished reading everything. Because that's what they're told to do, read it all. And I went to the pastor and I said, I don't know how to preach the gospel. And he asked me a question. What happened to you? I explained what happened to me. He said, go preach that love, not yourself. Go preach that truth. That's the gospel. Go preach what the Lord has done for you. He said, because all of this comes from God, not you. It's not about you. It's about the Lord God. Brothers and sisters, just as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, God is in you and I and has entrusted us with this great burden, this wonderful burden, lofty burden and beautiful burden, the burden of missions. So like I said, the goal this morning is not to make you feel unhappy or guilty, but the goal is to remind us of our union with Christ. And that union with Christ, by the virtue of that union, we have a burden. And that burden is to proclaim that truth, that gospel, to proclaim Christ. all across. But also, brothers, the last verse there, verse 21. What did Paul say there? Paul tells us, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What does it mean that we are the righteousness of God? It means that we are no longer the evil and wicked people anymore. By the righteousness of Christ, we have become united with Christ. And what's the implication of that as I conclude? The implication of that is that just as Christ looked at a rich young ruler and the young man said he had obeyed the law and Jesus had what? Compassion on him. What's that compassion? That's a compassion not out of the fact that I'm better than you, but a compassion out of the fact that this young man is lost. Brothers and sisters, the righteousness of God should compel us to have compassion. Should motivate us to have compassion on those who are dying without Christ. Should motivate us to look at our neighbor who knows everything about what is going on in this world. Who knows everything about science but knows nothing about Christ. This righteousness should compel us to look at him with compassion and say, friend, neighbor, I am so thankful for your knowledge, but there's one knowledge you do not have. That's the fear of the Lord. It is terrifying. But that same fear, if you know it today, it is full of joy. That same righteousness should compel us to look at those outside of our community. Yes, they are weak, but we'll look at them and say, come, come and see, come and hear of the goodness of God. I close by saying this. Brothers and sisters, are you a missionary at home? Are you a missionary in your workplace? Are you a missionary in your community? Do you see yourself as a missionary even to the ends of the earth? Does this love of Christ that saved you, does it compel you to preach the gospel? Does it motivate you when you see those who do not know anything about God? What comes to mind when you see a Mormon or a Hindu or a Muslim? Do you see people who you don't want to associate with, or do you see people who are lost? And you want to present the gospel to them. Are you motivated by that fear of the Lord and you're reaching out to these ones? Are you seeking that many will come to the kingdom of God? This is the burden that we have been entrusted with. And brothers, this burden is light. It's not heavy. Why? Because all of this is from God, the one who is at work in us, but to do according to his good pleasure. Let us pray. Lord Almighty, these words are few. These words are just a summary of and a drop of what Paul was talking about in this passage. There's a lot to unpack here. But Lord, It has pleased you, Lord God, to focus on our union with Christ and this burden you've given us because of that union. And Lord, we ask this morning, may it please you, Lord, that it will be said of us that how beautiful our feet is, that will bring the good news right here from Fayetteville to the ends of the earth. May it be said of us, Lord, that we are missionaries at home and everywhere we go. Lord, may people look at us and say, truly, these ones are out of this world because they preach the gospel. Lord, may we reflect and think about this burden this day. And may we not be ashamed, may we not be afraid, Lord, to proclaim this burden that you have given us, to bring forth reconciliation, to draw people to you, to point them to you every day. May Heritage be known as a home and a place of missionaries, sending forth missionaries in the community, in the nation, and all across the world. May our hearts be stirred up today to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.